Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive. This time we're going to be diving into Peter Thiel's 0 to 1.
Oh yeah.
We're going to be dissecting his ideas on startups, monopolies, and building the future.
Right.
Get ready for some serious contrarian thinking. This is not your average business book.
It's definitely a thought-provoking read. Thiel challenges so many assumptions that we have about building businesses, from the role of competition to the very definition of success.
Yeah, right off the bat, you come across this concept of 0 to 1. It sounds simple enough, but Thiel packs a lot into those three words. What's your take on the core message there?
It's really about the difference between true innovation and simply copying what already exists. 0 to 1 is about creating something genuinely new, something that pushes the boundaries of possibility. It's the kind of thinking that led to breakthroughs like the internet or the smartphone, or even something like online payment systems, things that fundamentally changed the way we live and work.
So not just setting up another online store then?
That's a great example. Think about it, launching another online store is essentially replicating an existing model. You might have a slightly different product or a different marketing strategy, but you're still operating within the same framework. Thiel would call that going from 1 to N. It's about scaling what already works, which is important, but it's not going to radically change the world.
And Thiel argues that this obsession with competition, this 1 to N mentality, is actually holding us back.
Absolutely. He suggests that competition is more of a societal construct than a fundamental truth. When you're laser focused on beating your rivals, you become fixated on incremental improvements, on getting a slightly bigger slice of the same pie. And it stifles true innovation because everyone's too busy trying to outmaneuver each other within the existing system.
It's like that old saying, if you want to win the game, you have to stop playing by the rules. Thiel seems to be encouraging entrepreneurs to rewrite the rules altogether.
Exactly. He wants you to question everything. He even uses this fascinating anecdote about his own career path. You'd think someone like Peter Thiel, a co-founder of PayPal and a renowned investor, would have a traditional straight-line path to success. But he talks about how he missed out on a prestigious Supreme Court clerkship, something most law graduates would consider a dream opportunity. At the time, he saw it as a setback. Now he sees it as a blessing in disguise, because it forced him off that conventional track and pushed him to create his own path.
It's like that Robert Frost poem, The Road Not Taken. By choosing the path less traveled, Thiel opened himself up to possibilities he might never have imagined otherwise.
And that's what he wants for entrepreneurs, to be open to those less obvious paths, to not be afraid to deviate from the norm and carve out their own unique space, because that's often where the most interesting and valuable opportunities lie.
This brings us to one of the most controversial ideas in the book, the idea that monopolies aren't necessarily a bad thing. In fact, he argues that they're essential for building a truly valuable company.
It's definitely counterintuitive, especially in a world where we're taught to fear monopolies and celebrate competition. But Thiel isn't talking about monopolies in the traditional predatory sense. He's not advocating for companies that crush their competition through unethical practices.
So what kind of monopolies is he talking about?
He's talking about companies that are so innovative, so far ahead in their thinking and execution, that they create a category of one. They aren't just better than their competitors, they've redefined the game entirely. Think about a company like Google.
They pretty much dominate the search engine market.
Exactly. But it's not like we're forced to use Google. It's that they've built a product so good, so indispensable, that it's become the default choice for billions of people worldwide. That's the kind of good monopoly Thiel is advocating for. One built on creating so much value that competition becomes irrelevant.
It's like they've created their own gravitational pull and everyone's just naturally drawn to it.
That's a great way to put it. And Thiel argues that this should be the goal of any entrepreneur who's serious about building a lasting, valuable company.
So how do you actually build one of these good monopolies?
Yeah.
What's the secret sauce? It feels almost counterintuitive. Instead of focusing on outcompeting rivals, Thiel wants you to aim for a position where you're essentially playing a different game altogether.
Precisely. And he lays out a framework for building this kind of category-defining company. He highlights 4 key characteristics: proprietary technology, network effects, economies of scale, and branding. Think of them not as a checklist, but as questions to ask yourself about your own venture.
Okay. Let's unpack those a bit. Proprietary technology seems pretty straightforward. You need something unique, something your competitors can't easily copy.
Right. But Thiel takes it a step further. He says your technology needs to be at least 10 times better than the closest alternative. Not just incrementally better, but radically, unbelievably better.
10 times. That feels like a high bar to clear.
It is, but that's the level of innovation required to break free from the pack and render competition irrelevant.
Yeah.
Think about it. Would you switch from your current email provider for one that's only slightly better? Probably not. But if something came along that was 10 times faster, more secure, and offered, you know, game-changing features, you'd likely switch in a heartbeat, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. And what about network effects? That seems particularly relevant in today's hyper-connected world.
Absolutely. Network effects are all about how the value of a product or service increases as more people use it. The classic example is the telephone.
Right. A single telephone is useless. But as more people get phones, the value of each individual phone increases exponentially because you can connect with more people.
Exactly. And this principle applies to so many businesses today, especially in the tech world. Think about social media platforms, online marketplaces, even something like a ride-sharing app. Their value is directly tied to the size and engagement of their user base. The bigger they get, the stronger the network effect, and the harder it becomes for competitors to catch up.
It's like building a moat around your business, but instead of water, it's made of users.
And that's a pretty powerful moat. Then there's the concept of economies of scale.
I feel like we hear that one a lot in business, but it's often used in a vague, hand-wavy way.
It's actually a pretty simple idea. As your company grows larger, your costs per unit decrease. Think about a software company. Once they've built the software, the cost of producing another copy is practically zero.
So the bigger they get, the more efficient they become,
yeah.
And the harder it is for smaller players to compete on price.
Exactly. And that allows them to reinvest those profits into further innovation, marketing, or talent acquisition, creating a virtuous cycle that reinforces their dominance. It's another key ingredient in building a lasting, category-defining company.
Okay. And the final piece of Thiel's monopoly puzzle is branding. This one always feels a bit more ephemeral to me, less tangible than something like proprietary technology.
It is more about perception, but it's absolutely crucial. Branding is about crafting a distinct identity, a story, an emotional connection with your customers. It's about being more than just a product or a service. It's about representing something aspirational, something your customers want to be a part of.
Think Apple. Their sleek design, their intuitive user interface, even their retail stores. It all contributes to this aura of innovation and exclusivity.
Exactly. People are willing to pay a premium for Apple products, not just because of their features, but because of what owning an Apple product says about them. That's the power of branding.
So we've got these four pillars of building a monopoly, but where do you even begin? It can feel overwhelming, especially for someone just starting out.
Thiel emphasizes the importance of starting small. Of dominating a niche market before aiming for world domination. He uses the example of Amazon.
Didn't they start with just selling books online?
They did.
Yeah.
Back in the mid-90s, the idea of buying anything online, let alone something as personal as a book, seemed crazy to most people.
But Bezos saw an opportunity to disrupt a massive industry that was ripe for innovation.
Exactly. Books were a smart choice. They were relatively inexpensive to ship. There was a huge variety of titles, and they attracted a passionate customer base. By focusing on that niche, Amazon was able to establish dominance, build trust with customers, and perfect their logistical operations before expanding into other categories.
So instead of trying to boil the ocean, you find a small pot of water, heat it up, and then gradually add more water as you go.
That's a great analogy. It's about building a solid foundation, proving your model, and then scaling strategically.
This actually ties into another one of Thiel's counterintuitive ideas, the concept of last mover advantage.
Right. We're often told that being first to market is everything, that the early bird gets the worm and all that. But Thiel flips that on its head.
He argues that being first often means making all the mistakes, spending a ton of money educating the market, and then potentially getting overtaken by a more nimble competitor.
Think about all the early pioneers in social media, online payments, even search engines. How many of them are still around today?
Not many. They paved the way, but it was often the later entrants who learned from their mistakes and capitalized on their successes.
Exactly. Last mover advantage is about patiently observing the market, identifying the winning strategies, and then coming in with a superior product, a deeper understanding of the customer, and the resources to scale rapidly.
It's like watching the first few laps of a race from the pit lane, identifying the best lines, and then coming in fresh and taking the lead in the final stretch.
That's a great way to think about it. It's about playing the long game, about building a company that's designed for enduring value, not just fleeting success.
This brings us to another big question. How much of success is due to luck versus skill? Thiel seems to fall firmly on the side of skill.
He acknowledges that luck plays a role, but he doesn't believe in leaving things to chance. He even criticizes those who attribute success solely to luck, like the whole Bill Gates was just lucky to have access to a computer argument.
Right. It wasn't just about having access. It was about what Gates chose to do with that access. The countless hours he spent programming, the risks he took, the relentless pursuit of his vision, that's what ultimately led to his success.
Precisely. And this ties into what Thiel calls definite optimism. It's not about blindly hoping for the best. It's about believing in your ability to shape the future through deliberate action and planning.
He contrasts this with indefinite optimism, which is more about going with the flow, hoping things will work out, but not having a clear plan or a strong sense of agency.
And he argues that definite optimism is essential for anyone who wants to build something truly impactful. It's about taking ownership of your future, not just waiting for it to happen to you.
It's like the difference between saying, I hope I win the lottery, and saying, I'm going to work hard and build a successful company.
Exactly. It's about having a vision, a plan, and the relentless determination to make it a reality.
And that brings us to one of the most fascinating and perhaps daunting aspects of the startup world, the role of venture capital.
Thiel has a unique perspective on this, having been both a successful entrepreneur and a legendary investor.
He talks about this idea of the power law dynamic in venture capital, which always felt a bit abstract to me.
It's a simple but profound concept. In venture capital, a tiny fraction of investments drive the vast majority of returns. It's not about picking winners consistently. It's about making a few bets that pay off exponentially.
It's like that old saying, it's better to have a small piece of something big than a big piece of nothing.
Exactly. And this applies not just to investing, but to careers as well. Joining a company that's on track to become the next Google or Amazon is far more valuable than having a slightly higher salary at a company that's going nowhere.
It's about betting on the right horse, even if it means taking a smaller saddle.
That's a great way to put it. And it requires a certain level of risk tolerance and a willingness to bet on yourself and your ability to spot potential.
This whole discussion of building a valuable company makes me think about the concept of secrets. Thiel dedicates a whole section of the book to this idea, which initially struck me as a bit odd. Aren't we living in the age of transparency?
Right. You'd think in the age of Google and Wikipedia, all the answers are just a click away. But Thiel argues that valuable companies are often built around secrets, insights, processes, or technologies that are not widely known or understood.
He even compares a great company to a conspiracy to change the world.
It sounds dramatic, but his point is that truly innovative companies are often built around ideas that initially seem crazy or counterintuitive.
So how do you find these secrets? Where do you even start looking? It does make you wonder what potentially groundbreaking ideas are being dismissed as too out there right now. But if you have this secret, this game-changing insight, you still need to build a company around it. And Thiel places a lot of emphasis on building the right team and culture.
He argues that a company's culture is more than just perks and ping pong tables. It's about a shared mission, a deep sense of camaraderie, and a commitment to building something truly great together. He calls it finding your tribe.
It's like that old saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Exactly. And Thiel uses the example of the PayPal Mafia, the group of early PayPal employees who went on to found or invest in companies like Tesla, SpaceX, LinkedIn, YouTube.
That's quite a track record. What was so special about their culture?
Thiel talks about how intensely they worked, how they challenged each other, and how they were united by this ambitious goal of creating a new global financial system. It wasn't just a job, it was a shared mission. And those shared experiences, that sense of camaraderie forged in the trenches of a high-growth startup, it created bonds that have lasted decades.
It's like they were in their own startup boot camp and they came out the other side, battle-tested and ready to conquer the world.
And that strong internal culture, that's something that can't be easily replicated or faked. It's about having a shared set of values, a clear understanding of each person's role, and a deep trust to one another.
He actually offers a practical tip for building that kind of clarity and minimizing conflict within a team, the one thing philosophy.
Right. Thiel suggests that each person in the company should have one and only one thing that they're responsible for. This creates clear ownership, minimizes overlap, and reduces the potential for confusion and conflict.
It's like that old adage, if you have two people responsible for something, you have no one responsible for it.
Exactly. And it goes back to Thiel's emphasis on building a company that operates with machine-like efficiency, where everyone understands their role and works together seamlessly.
So we've got the secret sauce. We've built a great team. We've cultivated a killer culture. What's next?
We need to get our product or service into the hands of customers, and that's where sales and distribution come in. Thiel argues that these are often overlooked aspects of building a company, especially in the tech world, where the focus tends to be on product development.
It's like that old saying, you can have the best restaurant in the world, but if it's located in the middle of the desert, no one's going to eat there.
Exactly. You need to find the most effective way to reach your target audience and get them excited about what you're building. And Thiel emphasizes that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to distribution.
He actually tells a funny anecdote about PayPal's early marketing efforts. They hired James Doohan Scotty from Star Trek to be their spokesperson.
It's a great story because it perfectly illustrates how even brilliant engineers can underestimate the complexities of marketing and distribution. Just because something makes sense on paper doesn't mean it will resonate with consumers.
And what's Thiel's advice for navigating this complex world of sales and distribution?
He suggests mapping out a distribution spectrum for your product or service. At one end, you have complex sales, which is best suited for high-priced products sold to a small number of large clients.
Think enterprise software or luxury goods.
Exactly. Then you have things like personal sales, marketing, viral marketing, each with its own set of pros, cons, and ideal use cases.
It's about finding the right channels for your specific product, target audience, and stage of growth.
Right. And he emphasizes that you don't need to be everywhere at once. It's better to focus on mastering one or two channels really well than spreading yourself too thin.
It's about finding that one lever that gives you the most leverage.
Exactly. And constantly iterating and adapting your approach as you learn and grow. Remember, building a successful company, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
So Thiel has given us this roadmap, this contrarian guide to building a company from zero to one. But what does it all mean in the context of the bigger picture?
Thiel believes that entrepreneurs have a unique opportunity and responsibility to shape the future. He argues that progress isn't inevitable. It requires deliberate effort, creative thinking, and a willingness to challenge the status quo.
He even compares the challenges of building a company to the challenges facing humanity as a whole.
He does. He suggests that the same principles that lead to successful startups, finding secrets, building strong teams, focusing on long-term value creation, those are also essential for tackling big problems like climate change, poverty, disease.
So it's not just about building a billion-dollar company. It's about using those skills, those insights, those resources to make a real dent in the universe.
Exactly. And that brings us back to Thiel's final provocative question. What can we do with computers that would have been unimaginable before?
This is where things get really interesting and a bit mind-bending. He's challenging us to think beyond the obvious applications of technology, to imagine how it can be used to fundamentally change the way we live, work, and interact with the world.
He's asking us to be bold in our thinking, to not be limited by current constraints, and to imagine a future where technology empowers us to achieve things that once seemed impossible.
It's a call to action for entrepreneurs, innovators, and anyone who believes in the power of technology to make the world a better place. So, what secrets are you uncovering in your own work and life? What unique value can you create? And how can you use your skills and passions to build a future that's truly better than the past? That's it for this deep dive into Peter Thiel 0 to 1. We'll see you next time.